Welcome to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. This program will take you behind the scenes and deepen your understanding about the patterns and perspectives of leadership today. Now, here's your host, John Schmidt.
Well, welcome everyone to this week's edition of Zoomed Leadership. I am your host, John Schmidt, and again today, as every Monday, I'll be taking us out to the big picture, into the up close and personal, and toward a world of desirable futures, those rich with the essence of constant renewal. Nice to be back with you again today. The pleasure, I have to say, in doing this show seems to grow week to week, and I'm feeling that today, as well as a great deal of energy after having a wonderful weekend, last several days, spending time with 60 others in a conference with futurist John Peterson of the Arlington Institute. We had a fabulous time. Our subject was much like it has been here on Zoomed. It was specifically about the architecture of the transition. Our focus specifically was on the era of extraordinary change coming our way, which is what we have been talking about. And it was about the unprecedented nature of the coalescing forces that are driving us toward a radically new world, and most likely, as we talked about over the weekend, a radically new human. Our conversation was on the scenarios of the future, none of which will occur as we were talking about them exactly, or actually even as we might perceive them, yet they did give us, and I think will continue, to give us some indication of the flow of some likely possibilities as we go forward and the interdependencies that will shape our lives as we progress into the future. But I have to say this, across all of our discussions, one thing was very, very clear, and that is that the outer shape and form of the coming world, the structures, the systems, the institutions, the communities, the very forms of living that we will embrace, all will be shaped by the interior dimensions of our awareness, our thinking, our creativity, our ability to transcend some possibly very difficult experiences and bring unprecedented realms of individual and collective brilliance to bear. And as I've said many times here on Zoom, particularly during some of our earlier shows, the front of life, the tangible forms we see and live with, will ultimately be shaped by the back of life. And that's what we talked about during the weekend as well, the very consciousness that infuses our recognitions, our decisions, and our actions. So we have much more to come on Zoomed on the front of life as we go forward. We have many more shows lining up on the drivers, the realities, on the history of the ages, and how we can take certain elements of that into play, all this building on the conversations we've done today. But today, I'd like to spend some more time on the back of life, on the nature of our thinking, on the nature of our brilliance, on the nature of deeper forms of leadership that will be an essential support to the great transition in motion. Our show title today is Presence-Centered Leadership, and today is another step in our conversation about leading into the future. And it's about transcending the binds of unsustainability that more traditional forms of leadership have limited us to. And today I'd actually like to contrast some of the core mindsets and the orientations that support and underpin the crisis of our times with something more full, more rich, and more complete, and as I'm describing here, more deep in our aura and its orientation. Because the best and the brightest of the scientifically rational minds that we have really taken us and our civilization to its current state of reality. And that's what we've been describing on Zoomed. An economic and financial system at the edge of breakdown, a planet in environmental peril, and a socially unjust world for many millions across the globe. But where does the inspiration, the brilliance, and the guidance come from to really create the change, the impact, and the redesign the world needs? That's the conversation today. That's the direction we'd like to take. Those are some of the facets of perspective we'd like to get into. And to do this, I really invited a friend, colleague, and certainly one I think that's rich to this conversation, Walter Link. Walter chairs the Global Academy and the Global Leadership Network, which innovates individual and collective leadership practice in support of a more humane, peaceful, and sustainable world. He's formerly a partner in B. Grimm, a Eurasian industrial group where Walter pioneered movements and strengthened social entrepreneurship and reinvented business practice in support of social and environmental sustainability. He's chaired the Social Venture Network in Europe. He co-founded Impresa, a network supporting CSR organizations throughout Latin America. He's helped found and run numerous civil society and educational institutions, including the first accredited MBA in sustainable management here in the U.S. I think Walter and I share the passion about leadership development. I'm delighted to have him here, and really the focus on deeper realms that can be brought to bear on the table of life. And we both share an appreciation of the Diamond Approach, a path and practice that illuminates and brings into actualization the nature, the true nature of our human potential. Walter, great to have you on the show. I can't thank anybody better to join me for the conversation as we're getting into more of a present-centered focus on Zoomed.
Good to meet you.
Well, great. Walter, let's start with the sense of this. I've started to play out a little bit about the orientation of the world and the frame of thinking. You and I have talked a little bit about it. What's your sense? Maybe we can start there with what's gotten us here and kind of the nature of the thinking and the world, and we're in the midst of climate change talks. What's a good way for us to start here?
Well, I was thinking back, to the times when I was running companies and being involved in this movement to change the economy, which was CSR, corporate social responsibility, but also sustainability, microfinance, fair trade, socially responsible investing, all these new ideas that we helped to pioneer and bring into the world. And then, of course, there was the human rights movements and all the other social transformation movements that happened. And what I saw is that we have good ideas, good intentions, we have even good technologies, but the bottleneck for all of this transformation continues to be our capacity for individual and collective leadership. We continue to run into difficulties of an interpersonal nature, of a challenge to run organizations that are congruent to their ideals, to have true dialogue and public fora, whether it's the U.S. Congress or the United Nations General Assembly or even civil society institutions, we keep butting our head against that the quality of our life, the way we actually relate with each other, is not congruent, doesn't express our deeper yearning for a different world. And so to learn how to bring into moment-to-moment functioning and understanding the ways of a different society, of a different organization, of a different world, I think that's the big challenge, and I don't think there are any easy answers for that.
Well, I think you're right, Walter, on the no easy answers, but I think some of the conversation we were even having before we got on the show, we were describing that there's an orientation to our thinking that's driving these relationships and driving the conversations in Congress and driving the conversations in our organization. And as we've talked about on Zoomed previously, that even from a developmental perspective, there's a strong orientation to a specialist knowledge, to sort of a craft logic, an expert orientation in one hand. And second, to just this achiever, goal-oriented, goal-driven sort of a perspective underpinned by rationality and scientific method and so forth. That's part of it. But what's your sense? I mean, that's part of what we've been talking about this, but there's an orientation to that, and there's more to that. And what's your sense, Walter, about what's here and what's even untapped?
Well, I think it's good that you mentioned the scientific method and our general ways of education, which don't have to be thrown out with the bathwater. They do bring a lot of important elements. I mean, we have a wonderful educational system in the United States and in other parts of the world that contains a lot of useful learning. But it is one-sided. And the people that have been running our financial systems and our environmental and political systems were trained at the best universities and schools, and they are receiving all the training that we can presently provide in the best institutions. And yet, their leadership led us into not only environmental and social crisis, but also into financial and economic crisis. So we have to wonder what else is needed in terms of developing people generally and leaders in particular. And I think you and I, obviously for ourselves and the people we are working with and the leaders we are coaching and training, have found that deep inner and interpersonal work based on spiritual and psychological understanding is crucial to be integrated with more traditional management and leadership understanding to together bring about a holistic view and a holistic practice that can integrate the diversity of who we are as human beings. And as we address all parts of ourselves and all parts of each other and stop being overly simplistic and acknowledge the complexity of human life and enter into this concrete, pragmatic exploration that's inspired by an understanding of a greater depth of life, I think we are finding solutions that can really make a big difference in the world.
Well, Walter, I think you're really pointing to the expression well, and we start talking about deeper and to link back to some of the conversations we've had on Zoom. And in the summer, we were talking about that beyond the expert and the achiever and the scientifically driven and the partial view, the beauty that comes out of that, but the partiality of that, there begins to be more of a recognition initially, an awareness that there's a relativism of what's really going on and the positions we take. There begins to be more of really reinterpreting and reinframing and looking through the greater depth at the situations we're in and bringing a greater degree of understanding of the multiple realms of knowing to bear. And maybe that's an entree. I know we've only got probably 30 seconds more here for this, but maybe that's an entree in terms of where we're going is our conversation about what is it that's deeper? What is it we're really talking about? Explicitly, as we're beginning to talk about present-centered leadership and about deeper forms of leadership. The word by itself points to something different. Walter, perhaps when we come back, we can talk more about what that might really be pointing to. What is this deeper sense? How might that be manifesting? What is it? What is the importance of that? How can that come about? And how to begin to actually get in contact with these deeper realms? These are the parts of the conversation, audience and folks here on Zoom. We'd love to engage, and Walter here to help us really explore today. Wonderful to be with you on this Monday again. Take a short break, hear the music in our ears, come back, and we'll continue the conversation. Walter Link joins us on this Monday. He is the chair of the Global Leadership Network and the Global Academy, rich in this perspective with me. Let's take a break. Come right back.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network. The world is in flux, primed for a great transition, possibly an epical one. How does it impact you? Does it reshape the questions you ask? The way you view leadership? Today's complexities and challenges call for new realms of leadership. The world needs resilience and adaptability, new levels of innovation and brilliance. At Avastone Consulting, we know that our times call for shifts of mind. How do we cultivate real shifts of mind in our leaders? Not through conventional development, which focuses on gaining skills and knowledge within an established worldview. Shifts of mind truly expand the worldview itself, enlarge the capacity to see through new eyes, and transform interpretations of reality and the actions that accompany them. Those who embrace shifts of mind are the kind of leaders that Avastone helps to build. Change the way you pursue the future. Call Avastone Consulting at 1-678-461-888. 1-888-4680. That's 1-678-461-8880. Or visit avastoneconsulting.com. Avastone Consulting, your source for leadership development, working with complex organizations toward evolutionary shifts of mind.
Wake up with a unique daily show. Listen for Mitchell John in the morning. Mitchell will bring you news, sports, and stock news from yesterday. You'll hear interviews from high-profile figures from the world of sports, entertainment, politics, and authors. Mitchell will talk to people throughout America. This is a show that throws right down the center. It's fun, information, and yes, even a little bit of music. Catch Mitchell John in the morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on Voice America, and Thursdays on the Voice America Business Network.
Are you ready to take on a new outlook about dating today? Let the secrets of dating and relationship success inspire, inform, and motivate you to find, build, and grow a successful and loving relationship. Host Gloria McDonald has helped over 3,000 couples find love and lasting relationships, and she's ready to give you the wisdom you need to cultivate that perfect relationship. Tune in to the secrets of dating and relationship success with Gloria McDonald every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back here today, Walter Link, our guest. Our subject is presence-centered leadership. And Walter, let me take us back to where I was introducing. Perhaps a good place to start is, what is it that we're really meaning when we're talking about a deeper sense of leadership, and what is it we're talking about when we use the word presence?
Well, I think, when we look at many of the leaders that are publicly known that inspire millions of people through the ages, people like Mandela or Obama or Martin Luther King or Gandhi or many others, they have a particular quality, or rather an array of qualities that we sense are authentic, they're real, and they point to a human potential that we all have and that we touch in from time to time when we have the experience of being deeply compassionate or intelligent or clear, or have persistence and patience and all these capacities needed for leadership. And often we are just kind of having these experiences and we are using them in our work, but we don't necessarily think to inquire more deeply into what they are and how they can be cultivated, and so that they become more and more deeply present to ourselves and available to our functioning as leaders. And that is what presence-focused leadership can do. It can actually show a path that allows you to develop these qualities and to work what gets in the way in our psyche to have these qualities be available to ourselves. And we can draw really on thousands of years of psychological and spiritual practice, and increasingly also on brain science, to understand how to cultivate these qualities.
And the qualities really were pointing to, Walter, to a deeper sense of our own consciousness. Are we not this really more of a felt sense, an awareness of the consciousness that really resides and that really infuses us, out of which these qualities really are experienced and enlivened, enriched in the potential and the very capacity for them to be expressed in the world really come from? So it's this consciousness that we're really talking about, and that's a word that it's not easy for everyone to quite relate to, and some of the language I think we're seeing more of a in the realm of we see presence and presencing talked about by a Sengi and the you process by an Otto Scharmer, and we hear it in spiritual experience as well, but this is a realm here, and there's a real palpable sense and a felt sense of this consciousness and these qualities you're talking about. Maybe you can say a little bit more just in your own sense, Walter, about and point to this that can help people really realize the realm within us that we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I think we are grappling as a culture with putting this into language, and but you can recognize it, for example, about the various kinds of intelligence that people now speak about. There is, of course, rational intelligence, but more and more people understand there is something like emotional intelligence or intelligence of the heart. There is also a certain intelligence that resides in the body, and of course, athletes are a great example of people who can excel greatly by developing this intelligence. And there's cultural intelligence, and the question is, how do we get in touch with that? How is it that it is not only an idea, a concept that we read about in an article or a book, but that we develop practices that help us get in touch with that? And that's what I've tried to do, you know, for the past 20 years in my work with leaders in both coaching and groups and these leadership development programs and so forth, is to offer them concrete practices so that in their own experience they can get in contact with what, you know, you call presence, and I call that presence too, but we could call it consciousness or other forms. And I think if an easier form to get in, to make sense of that for normal people in the world, is that this fundamental consciousness kind of differentiates itself into these different qualities, such as love and compassion and intelligence and strength and power. And we all know that when they are real, they are essential for leadership. And when they are real, then they are not paradoxical. They're not in contradiction to each other. So in a real form, where they are in their essential form of presence, love and power are not a contradiction. And you can see it in powerful leaders, that they have a kindness and a love. And that's what's inspirational about that. And when the love and the power are split, as they are on the superficial levels of our ego personalities, then you get into people who only have power at the detriment to love, and you get into the extremes of a Hitler or other people in history who obviously had a lot of power but no love, no compassion, no clarity about the human potential. So we are looking for a deep contact to the ground of reality, and in a way that becomes functional in the world, or what we generally call a better world, more humane, more just, more sustainable, more effective, more functional. And we somehow all have a sense of that, but we don't spend much time looking at it in detail because we think it's somehow not possible to do that. But you can get as clear an understanding of a path and a practice to develop that as you can learn to play the piano or a mountain bike.
Yes, and what you're describing to me, Walter, with the nature of these qualities, these essential qualities and these aspects of this consciousness that pervades us, is a real harmonic with that, that there's not one separate from another, that they're together. But there's another element of this, and that is that these multiple intelligences, as you're describing them, have a dynamism, an inherent, unbounded, fresh, ongoing, continuous, dynamic flow that's really imbued with an outflow of creativity to go with the intelligence, an outflow of a brilliancy that brings them to life, that really allows these qualities to flourish and to be expressed in a way that we see in some of the leaders you describe. And that dynamism seems to me that's an important dimension here as I was opening the show and talking about some of the dynamics of our systems and what's happening in the collision course and some of all this, that there is just a flow that's evolving here in the nature of leadership being engaged in something new and fresh. And that seems to me to be an underpinning of this as well. And maybe you can put some words to that. I know you express it well, Walter.
I think you know, the word evolution clearly points to that. I mean, what is that really? I mean, we know it exists, and we know that it has evolved life as it is today. But what is this dynamic force that moves towards optimization and that, with all the ups and downs of history, has brought about a greater and greater capacity for awareness? Right? When you look through the evolution of biology, one thing that is a constant is that each further turn of the spiral of evolution of life brought a greater capacity for more brain, more consciousness, and in a certain sense, also more heart and compassion, more understanding, and eventually humanity happened. And when you look through humanity's evolution, you can also see that there are things that are evolving as movements. There isn't like one leader or one person that you can point to, like sustainability. There isn't Mrs. or Mr. Sustainability. It's a understanding that's evolving. And when I went to school, the Green Party was born in Europe, you know, in Germany where I went to school. And it was strange to many people, but also many people got drawn to it. Now, it was in the government for the last, decade. And every party now addresses sustainability. It is on the right and the left. It is in the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere. Brazil has as much conversation about sustainability as America has. So there is something evolutionary about the recognition that sustainability is needed, and of course there is a crisis that helps to prompt that, but there is also a deeper understanding about the capacity to live in harmony between nature and ourselves, and to recognize we are nature also. And the same you could say is true for human rights, that we're not considered as being that central to human life 100 years ago, and even less so 1,000 years ago. And now, even though there are still many human rights abuses, we even recognize them as human rights abuses. There is a sense, even with all the cultural diversity around the world, that there is something like universal human rights, even if they maybe express themselves a little bit differently around the world. But we have a general understanding that torture is bad and uncivilized. And so there is something that is evolving, and as it is evolving throughout all humanity.
And so then what you're describing, Walter, is a harmonic. You're describing an evolutionary perspective. And as I was saying, there's a dynamic unbounded. There's a flow, there's an outflow of this, imbuing the qualities within us, and then collectively as we're living together, that's unfolding. And I hear the music about to come into my ears here, and I know we have a break coming up, and so before I launch us into something we can't complete in this, Walter, I'd love to continue this, because I'd love to explore even more about the nature of the leadership and the nature of the practices and the nature of really the embodied sense of this that we might really help develop and cultivate within our leadership, in our educational forms, in the different realms to bring to bear this kind of depth in our leadership. Let's get to that when we come back and more. I'm John Schmidt, Walter Link, our guest today, our discussion present-centered, a deeper form of leadership, how that really supports the unfolding and the evolving flow of our society in this era of extraordinary change. Come back in a minute for our next segment. Thanks.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network. The world is in flux, primed for a great transition, possibly an epical one. How does it impact you? Does it reshape the questions you ask? The way you view leadership. Today's complexities and challenges call for new realms of leadership. The world needs resilience and adaptability, new levels of innovation and brilliance. At Avastone Consulting, we know that our times call for shifts of mind. How do we cultivate real shifts of mind in our leaders? Not through conventional development, which focuses on gaining skills and knowledge within an established worldview. Shifts of mind truly expand the worldview itself, enlarge the capacity to see through new eyes, and transform interpretations of reality and the actions that accompany them. Those who embrace shifts of mind are the kind of leaders that Avastone helps to build. Change the way you pursue the future. Call Avastone Consulting at 1-678-461-8888. That's 1-678-461-8880. Or visit avastoneconsulting.com. Avastone Consulting, your source for leadership development, working with complex organizations toward evolutionary shifts of mind. Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live talk radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network. Are medical professionals in your life telling you that nothing's wrong with you? Are you interested in learning more about self-healing? Tune in to Self-Healing with Dr. Judy Griffin. In this unique program, we'll explore both age-old traditions and innovative techniques that will help heal your personal environment. From illnesses to personal goals and so much more, Self-Healing is here to guide you. Join us every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time for Self-Healing on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back here at third segment today on this Monday. Our conversation is about the deeper consciousness that rests within that platform and use and application and drawing upon that relative to our leadership, a present-centered leadership, the embodiment, the contact of it. And Walter, as we were talking in the break, I thought maybe that it would be useful to try to contextualize this in some actual organizational experience and talk about both the relevance, the broad context, and the nature of the practices involved. Maybe you can open up, give an example of where this orientation to present-centered leadership and the work in the world is taking hold and taking life.
Yeah, I thought I'd maybe give you two examples. One is a European sustainability bank, and the other one is a civil society organization in Sri Lanka. So I start with the bank. We're about to start, together with my colleague Hein Dijksterhuis from Holland, a two-year leadership training and development program at Triodos Bank, which is specifically supporting companies and nonprofits that are sustainability-oriented throughout Europe and actually other parts of the world with, you know, normal banking support, including also funds and so forth. And they are very aware that sustainability is not only something that has to do with, you know, environmental and social changes, but that, first of all, the leaders themselves need to be able to sustain their leadership and to have an organization that is sustainable as a creative entity and a mutually supportive entity that can have a deep understanding of sustainability and also, of course, be financially sustainable. And they're 30 years old, and they actually have been doing very well in the recent financial crisis because they have a deeper interest in sustainability. And so what we will be doing in this two-year-long training for their senior leaders is to take them even further into inner and interpersonal work practices using awareness practice, meditation, inquiry, listen practices, co-creation practices, prototyping practices that kind of integrate the maturation of ourselves as a human being, making contact to these deep qualities of presence in ourselves, from you know, power and creativity to compassion and clarity, and to bring them into understanding what really is needed to support sustainability through a bank. What is a successful sustainability bank? On the other side of the world, in Sri Lanka, I'm supporting a 50-year-old organization called Savodia. That has a very broad range of services in over 10,000 villages, working with many millions of people there, doing everything from microcredit and sustainable technology to education and peace work and special governance work. And they are Buddhist-oriented, not religious, but have this deep essential philosophy of Buddhism as their support while they work with all religious communities and helping them to harmonize with each other. And there again, we look at how can we bring the practices of inner work and interpersonal work into the functioning of a microcredit bank, into the functioning of an educational or peace process, where in the end, it's always people that are meeting each other. It's not ideas, it's not only technologies, it's not theory, it's not all rational, it's the complexity and the messiness of being human that is always the medium through which these ideas get realized. And so if we are ignorant of what the medium of being a human being is, we can't succeed. So we can look at something as simple as listening, right? So part of this practice is to really listen, but it's not just to listen with my mind to your words. It's to realize that my whole system is listening to you, that I have responses in my body, in my heart, in my mind, my overall system. And if I'm not aware of these responses, I can unconsciously be reactive. But if I am aware of them because I sensitize myself to really be present in this moment as I hear what you are saying, and I'm also not only listening to your words, but I'm really feeling where you are coming from. I maybe notice that your angry attack on me comes from being insecure or being disrespected. And I can not go into my reactivity, respond to your anger with my anger, but kind of feel compassion for the place in which you are disrespected or hurt. And I can respond to that place. We can enter into a whole different level of human relationship that can open up a creative potential between us and a healing potential between us, which is really exactly what is going on the most simple family level and the highest political level. You know, why is it that, Gorbachev and some of the Western leaders were able to kind of break the vicious cycle of the Cold War? It was also because they were able to meet at a little bit deeper level. They were not just seeing each other as bad people that are evil and that are enemies, but they were able to somehow sink into some layer of humanity. And we can do that too, and it can be practiced. It won't happen by itself. If you get good practice, you will become better at doing that.
Well, I think that's right. And what you're describing, Walter, is in the evolution of our conversation here, that there is the contact we have with this consciousness, with this presence. There is our self in it. There is this relational aspect of bringing that level of reality, being where you are in the moment, in the truth of the moment, in the truth of the relationship with others. But it's also then recognizing this this consciousness relative to all of us, so that the context is as an I, a we, all of us. It pervades the field. And as I was describing earlier, the sense that then the leadership that you're talking about in the bank, or whether we're talking about it embracing the issues in Congress here, the political context, we're elevating the discussion to another level of sorts in terms of potential that can be brought to bear, but it's the brilliancy that can come out with new thought and new perspective in the context of these relationships. And that's part of what we talked about last weekend, was the nature of the world we're going into is nothing like the past. And it's taking something fundamentally different, richer, and deeper, just as you're describing the core practices and the support that you're providing at the bank. And so my question is how are people responding to it, Walter?
Well, I think, if there is the time and the openness to work with these practices, they respond very well, because it's really just going more deeply into who we are already. And people generally appreciate when you support them to really be themselves, because I'm not telling them how to be. I'm not trying to bring any, force them into being anything that they don't want to be. It's more to open an inquiry into a discovery of who we really are. And I think the problem with so many leadership trainings and practices is that they just provide people with ways that they should be. And it makes them in a certain way more fake, because now they're supposed to be compassionate. So they don't feel compassionate, but they're supposed to behave compassionate. And they turn themselves into a pretzel trying to be compassionate. But if we work through our anger and through our closed-heartedness and our lack of sensitivity, then we will eventually naturally become compassionate. But that compassion isn't a pre-described behavior pattern. It's a way of being that will take its form in a perfectly responsive way to the situation, and it will look very different in different situations. there is no way to provide somebody with a preset image of what it is to be compassionate or creative or powerful or real or authentic. It is a journey into the discovery of who we are already, and each one of us will be different in that because we are unique. We have a shared humanity, and we are a shared field of presence, but we also are a unique expression. And I think that leadership, when it is really effective and powerful and transformational, comes from this authentic, unique source. And so the only thing I'm doing is supporting people to discover who they really are. And from that, they find out how to lead for themselves. And I would have no way of telling them how they should do that, but I can help them to connect with that depth in themselves and also to develop certain skills and capacities, of course. But the skills and capacities are really worth very little if they're not paired with this deep connection to who we really are.
And Walter, I think that describes what I've talked about some here on Zoomed, and it's much like an archer's target of sort of three circles just from a visual and with part of our audience, that at the core of it, it's this presence, it's this consciousness, it's the who is really involved. And the who is involved with the what of life and the relationships that you're describing, the nature of the self with others, the compassionate relationships, but the recognition that we're really dealing with problems with all of us. So it's the who dealing with the what, and the how is very background, the competencies, the literacies, although important. That's where much of the world, really, the emphasis has been in the traditional leadership and the leadership development work, which has missed the heart of this real sense of who we are, and just even in that visual, the heart of the presence of who we are and the dynamism of life that can infuse the brilliancy that's so needed. And with that, Walter, let's take a short break. I know we're coming up. We're probably a minute or so over on this segment, but I think this really starts to capture the depth, the core of what we're really pointing to in this first discussion that we're having about more of a present-centered orientation to it. Let's take a short break. Listeners, join us. Last segment here with Walter Link. We'll bring some conclusion and start talking a little bit about where we might even explore this in community together. Come back in a minute. John Schmidt, Walter Link on this Monday. Come right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network. The world is in flux, primed for a great transition, possibly an epical one. How does it impact you? Does it reshape the questions you ask? The way you view leadership? Today's complexities and challenges call for new realms of leadership. The world needs resilience and adaptability, new levels of innovation and brilliance. At Avastone Consulting, we know that our times call for shifts of mind. How do we cultivate real shifts of mind in our leaders? Not through conventional development, which focuses on gaining skills and knowledge within an established worldview. Shifts of mind truly expand the worldview itself, enlarge the capacity to see through new eyes, and transform interpretations of reality and the actions that accompany them. Those who embrace shifts of mind are the kind of leaders that Avastone helps to build. Change the way you pursue the future. Call Avastone Consulting at 1-678-461-8888. That's 1-678-461-8880. Or visit avastoneconsulting.com. Avastone Consulting, your source for leadership development, working with complex organizations toward evolutionary shifts of mind.
The Marsh Engel Show. Join the movement to empower yourself with the essentials of feminine power and success, and learn how women around the world are becoming more inspired, more influential, and absolutely amazing. Each week, Marsh sits down for an engaging conversation with women who are boldly committed to living their most amazing life. You'll discover ways to step into your greatest vision, deepen your relationships, and unleash your real creative brilliance. Get ready. It's time to jump into the conversation. That's Monday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for the Marsh Engel Show on the Voice America Business Network.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back last segment today, Walter Link, our guest. Our conversation is about the deeper sense of leadership, presence-centered leadership. Certainly, as I have expressed in some previous shows relative to our work at Avastone, we're really doing a sense of a new program around the Great Turning, about the nature of the extraordinary change, what's coming, and with that, our own work associated with presence-centered leadership, this deeper form of leadership that goes hand-in-hand. And Walter, in this segment, I know we share some of this perspective about really bringing it to life. You and the examples you have, Avastone, and other examples that we certainly have, but you have an interesting exploration in community that I mentioned as the segment was breaking in New York coming up here in March of the next year. Maybe you can say a little bit about that. I think that's a wonderful place for us all to explore and potentially consider getting together.
Yeah. So from March 4 to 7, of 2010, we will gather at a retreat center outside of New York in Boston to do a program called Presence in Action. And it basically explores how to connect with the deepest layers of our self, of our essential nature, of different qualities of presence, from the heart to power, from creativity to clarity, and how to integrate that into individual and collective leadership. And the way we want to do that is not so much only in a teaching workshop atmosphere, but in a way where we use practices from the Diamond Approach that are very evocative of these deeper layers of ourselves, using this practice of the Diamond Approach, inquiry and awareness practices and so forth. And with that help, create a deeper field where we all as participants sink into a deeper ground of ourselves. And then from that deepened ground, enter into a co-creative dialogue to understand about how these new ways of leadership are relevant to our concrete life, whether they are leading organizations or being consultants helping others, or as academics teaching, or as private citizens living life. We want to see together, what do we discover from this deeper place about the integration of inner and interpersonal work with the functioning of organizations, of society, of groups, of families, and so have this back and forth between practices that deepen our consciousness and a peer dialogue in which we together explore this new paradigm of leadership.
Well, and I think what's attractive, Walter, about that there are different, each of us as practitioners in this, as I was describing Avastone and the work in our presence-centered leadership programs and the design development we're using in and others, that it's a useful and an interesting place to bring a cross-section of practitioners, cross-sectors of this, those that are using and potentially engaging in leadership in different ways, but to explore
the potentiality and the relevance and the application and how we might collectively bring brilliancy to bear in this deeper inquiry about its potentiality and how that potentiality can really be actualized. And that really is a stimulating element to me. And we've been talking about that we can actually even stimulate, for example, bringing a number of folks from Avastone, other firms bringing several people, so that we really put together a cross-section of those that are really at the leading edge of wanting to bring this into the world and see what can be illuminated. And I think that's very exciting, Walter.
Yeah, we have people coming from Europe also. We have social entrepreneurs that will be coming, so there will be a rich mixture of people from the consultancy and leadership field and people that are themselves leaders and social entrepreneurs and people that are in academia, people that are spiritual practitioners and teachers, people that, for this is, a new exploration, but who are very interested in being available to such a very experiential process that's not primarily rational talking about things, but it's actually entering into the concrete experience and then explore our understanding from the direct experience of presence, the direct experience of a deeper awareness, a deeper entering into this moment, and also the place, the guest house center where we are holding it is a very beautiful location, very peaceful at the edge of a natural forest. And so I think we'll also have the right environment, because the environment is also very important, I think, for this kind of development programs.
Well, I think that's right. It's holding the space. It's the field of it. It's actually the living embodiment in the physical form as well as the actual engagement with each other. Walter, I hear the music in my ears. Delight to have you with us here to open our conversation on Zoom more deeply into Present Center Leaders. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you as one of the great people exploring this topic.
Great. Well, thank you, Walter. Most appreciative. And I think we're colleagues on this path and others with us as well.
Absolutely. It's a new field, and it's evolving, and it's very exciting to be part of this co-creative movement.
And I think that says it, Walter. It's that co-creativeness that's been a central part of, I know, my own journey is around the creation, the bringing forth the new potential. That's what this show is about as well. It's the dialogue. It's the many voices. And, Walter, thank you for yours on the show today to join with those that have been on. And Zoom guests or audience, it does continue. We will continue, as I say, more on the discussion and the orientation and an understanding of presence-centered leadership, more on the outer forms, the systems, the realms of life we're talking about, and the extraordinary change in this era we're heading into. It all comes into sharp relief here on Zoomed. Join us as we continue. More to come. John Peterson will be joining us. A wonderful look at the history from another one of our guests. We'll be looking at instinctual intelligence. Much, much more to come on this. Stay with us on Zoom. This conversation continues and will deepen over time. All the best to you. Have a great week. Again, Walter, thank you, and we will continue as we go forward. The best to you all and Zoomed audience. See you later then. Until next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening to Zoomed Leadership with host John Schmidt. Please be sure to join us again next Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. And have a terrific week.